I just spoke to a specialist, a master at going and taking your business from seven figures to eight, like how you actually transition and have the adaptability, the mindset. How do you get to where you want to go, right? And I, of course, being six figures, you know, I was like, okay, wait, but can you take me from six figures to seven and then seven to eight? This man is a freaking master. You hear me? A master. Andreas Pedersen. He's an executive leader and turned coach and CEO of Leaders Adapt. Now, I love this conversation so freaking much, and I cannot wait for you to dive into this. So if you're somebody who wants to grow for real, and have an episode that's going to give you all these amazing nuggets and books to read and mindset shifts and all that, this is the episode for you. Y'all, listen up. Here we go. What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez. I am so glad you're here. Make sure you like, share, subscribe. You know the drill, because we have amazing humans that come on here to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. Now, for those of y'all who are like seven-figure earners, put on that hat, because I got somebody for you. Today's guest is Andreas Pedersen. He is an executive leader turned coach and CEO of Leaders Adapt. Is that right? Is it Adapt?
Yes. Because all right, every I wanna make good sure. leader always needs to be adapting.
Exactly. Andreas leveraged 16 plus years of global tech experience. He has think running companies, founding ventures like Arculus and Leapfrog Funds to guide fearless entrepreneurs from seven to eight figures without losing themselves in the process. Now, he's all about mindset shifts and self-discovery and ending what we call, I love this, adult daycare in the workplace. All right, y'all, we're going to get into this. This guy is a straight shooter. He just tells it like it is. And I love that he has the secret sauce to scale, helping you exit gracefully and to find true fulfillment, right? So Andreas, welcome to Straight Talk. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm amazing. And I need you to travel around with me and make introductions for me every single time I go on a stage or enter a meeting. That would be amazing. Can you do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, of course I can. Let me know when and where. We'll do it. It's so funny. I love introducing people because I love what you guys bring to the world. And I love having these kind of conversations where I'm a six-figure earner. I'm not a seven-figure earner. I'm hoping to get there, but I'm not there. But no, I've worked with, I will get there.
You will get there.
Thank you. Already correcting. That's right. Andreas is a straight shooter. You're right. And I have worked with seven-figure earners. I've worked with and alongside billionaires and stuff. They're thinking, Andreas is amazing. You're thinking, because you're a millionaire yourself, is amazing, right? This other level of thinking, like when I went from poverty, because I was impoverished, you know, a lot of my life and born and raised that way. And when I hit the six figures and started to grow, I started to realize the difference in the way that we think, the way that we act. It was more about collaboration than beating people down in competition. Competition is healthy and important, but I just realized a different set of thinking and the way of viewing life. So before we get on to the nitty gritties of your expertise, I do want to know you a little bit more. So tell us a little bit more about you.
I share your background. So I'm originally from Sweden. I moved to US 2014. I also come from a very humble upbringing, as poor as you can get in Sweden. I grew up with a single mom that worked in a daycare. We didn't have too much. I didn't go on too many vacations growing up. There were months where you had to borrow money to get food on the table and things like that. I love my mom. She is a hardworking, very strong woman, and she have inspired me. And luckily, I grew up in a country where education is free. And if you have drive and you can make a difference. So I ended up taking a bachelor and two masters, started working as a software engineer. And then my path was through product management very quickly, doing sales leadership, marketing leadership, product leadership, and then getting into an executive level, becoming CEO when I was 37, for a Canon-owned company, and I can tell you that's extremely young for a Japanese culture.
That's amazing, though, right? And I love that you had the wherewithal also to say, okay, the education here is free, so I'm going to take advantage of that, right? Because that's, I think, part of it, too, is having the mindset and the drive to not be complacent, right? Or to not just like, I remember, you know, growing up where people, well, because I'm Hispanic, right? So it'd be like, well, you're Latina, you know, you just need to work all day, whatever. I just never had that in me. It was always about, well, I still want to get my degrees. I still want to get my bachelor's degree. I still want to start a business. I still want to do all these things. And I'm like the first one in my family to do that. And I think it's that mindset, Andreas, right? You kind of have to put yourself, you have to take ownership for your stuff, right?
Yeah. And I think I'm going to build upon what you said also in the intro. A lot of people who come from nothing, we operate with fear-based mindset. Millionaires, people that have a lot of money, they operate more with an abundance mindset where time is more valued than anything. And the efficiency level that you get when you understand how important it is to delegate and find other people to buy back your time. By the way, mini promo for Dan Martell's book, Buy Back Your Time. It's a really good book. But it talks about the importance of delegation. And I think that most people that go from 6 to 7 figure, they never learn to go from fear-based mindset to abundance-based mindset. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, if you don't shift from sort of being what I call, because fear-based mindset often develops insecure overachievers. Meaning people that are not really sure about themselves. Do I really deserve this? Am I worthy? And then combine that with the fear of, oh, what if I go back and I become poor again? And people don't understand that the value comes from all the lessons, your life, everything there's no way you're going to go back to a poor lifestyle once you have made the mental transition already in your life. Now, again, people often keep pushing the fear base too long, get very destructive sometimes self-sabotage, resistance to change, and so on. And they have to learn to lead with value and lifting other people up around them. And when they do, they get lifted up more. And when they get lifted up more, they have the finances to start paying people to doing things for them. And now they accelerate even more.
So what is it that you... what is it that you did in your life, or how have you helped people to transition from that fear-based mindset in that six-figure place to go up to the next level, right? Because I noticed that about myself sometimes too, Andreas, even as you're saying it, that I do sometimes hold back. Like I realize that I'll have some fear stuff coming up and I try to combat that, right? With, you know, like just thinking about what I've already accomplished in life, how I've helped others, how I've helped them move forward. But I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that it doesn't come up. It does come up, right? And so I'm tired of that, to be quite frank, right? And I'm sure that a lot of people who are listening, and I get about, I don't know, maybe like 200,000 people who listen, right? So if they're listening, I'm sure they go through this too. And to your point, because I know you work a lot with seven-figure earners and helping them to transition into that eight-figure, there's something there too, right? There's something even there that they have to combat. So let's start with the six-figure into the seven-figure, and then I want to move what that means for the seven into the eight. Yeah. How do you help them?
I often help them. It's very simple. They need to recalibrate. Whenever they feel fear, they have to think unfamiliar. And what often ends up happening is people work hard to get up to a certain level, and then the fear that motivated them takes over because now it's fear of losing what they have built.
Oh, yeah, so true.
Because they don't recognize all the action they took, they don't recognize that they can go start a new company. One client I was helping the other day, she runs, that's an eight-figure business, very afraid of losing it. And I said, okay, great, you lost it tomorrow. What would you do? And she's like, no, but I won't. No, but let's say you do. Like you lost the whole company, you bankrupted tomorrow. What would you do? And then in the next, she literally had a monologue for 5-10 minutes where she basically explained every single step she would do. And I'm like, wow, that sounds like a great company. Are you sure you don't want to sell your company and just go start that instead? My point is she knew exactly the path because she already walked down the path.
So good.
You have to learn to recalibrate fear with I'm familiar of what will happen. And also, I have all the knowledge. I have the mindset. If you have invested in constantly changing, curiosity, learning, you can go do so many other things. You're not the person you were 10 years ago. And I think when people realize, it's like, you know, the New York taxi drivers, and you have this plexiglass behind them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they let let's say that you're driving it. Nina 2025 is driving, but every now and then Nina 2020 jumps up in the front seat and starts driving the car. And what you need to do mentally is put them back and then slam that plexiglass and just shut up in the back seat. I'm driving. I have all my experience that you don't have. I'm going to listen to my life today, not who I was 5 years ago. That's how you start moving forward. Take action and just shut up that voice. And you can use Mel Robbins' 5-second rule. You can do other things, but you have to just stop the negative, destructive thinking. And you have to, one of the first exercises I do, sorry, I can go off on a rant, talk a lot about
please, go ahead. One of the
first exercises I do whenever I start working with a client, regardless of how successful they are, is notice all the positive things around them. Notice whenever someone gives them a compliment, write it down. And every single day, in the end of the day, they have to reflect on all the positive things said about them. And they wake up in the morning, asking them to visualize, do their affirmations, depending on what their beliefs are, do those things. But read out loud every single day, everything positive that was said about them, every win they had, define that, write it down in the last 30 days. And it's a rolling 30-day window. And the reason why I asked them to do that is now they're walking around with the confidence, the self-worth, and the belief that they can do even more. When people get stuck in fear, what if this goes wrong? What if I don't get the money for this? What if this happens? They're looping. They're stuck in their head. And
now they're using
negative cognitive bias instead of fueling with positive forward thinking and constantly iterate to themselves the positive. The best leaders I meet, they all visualize in the morning. They all reflect in the end of the day. Did I live the most purposeful, action-oriented life in my company, in my life today? What am I going to do different tomorrow? And every time they go into a negative thought, they stop themselves. They can't lose weeks. They can't lose days. They can lose 20 minutes in a meeting where it's negative, walk into the next meeting, switch it, positive mode going on again. Otherwise, they're stuck. They're not accumulating all the knowledge. Yeah. All the skill, all the action taking.
That was really no, that was amazing because I mean, first of all, you spoke to me, so thank you. That really helped me a lot. And I'm somebody who does believe in shifting your mindset and making sure you think forward. Like one of the things that happened to me when I was in 5 figures to 6 figures is I started telling myself, you don't have time for that. So every time that negative thought, I'll be like, oh, don't have time. I don't have time. You know, and then I would go and move on. But I do find myself sometimes still getting a little bit on the self-sabotage or the stuck thing, right? And I'm starting to call that out because I'm recognizing that. And I'm like, okay, are you done whining? Because this is whining. Like, what are we doing with this, right?
Give yourself 5 minutes. It's called below the line, above the line. There's a great book written about this as well. But if you set the time, like I'm in a shitty mood today. I'm not in, like, I don't want to do this or things. Why am I doing this? Or I'm worrying. As soon as you catch yourself, okay, start a timer on your cell phone. I'm giving myself 10 more minutes. I'm going to write down all the negative thoughts on a piece of paper. You got to get it out of your head. When the clock goes on, we're done. We're moving on. As soon as the thought came up, 5-second rule, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, out loud. Stop doing it. Move on to something else that is positive. Or every time the negative thought, think, what if the opposite is true? What if I'm all, is this, or is this reality or is this an emotion? So try to categorize it, break it down to details. I still do this every single day, but you got to have these mantras. And I met a client yesterday. I flew out to Florida and I had a really good meeting with her. We're just onboarding her. Wicked smart, knows exactly what to do. Just distractions, like not living purposeful. And she's like, yeah, but I'll do it tomorrow. I'm like, you don't have tomorrow. Compound that 10 years and you wait to tomorrow a few times in the week. No, you can. I give you 10 minutes. Like, and I told her every time I walk through a door frame, I ask myself, which mood am I in? And I force myself to put an iron brain, 10 rainbows, unicorn. I just won the lottery. Zero is I'm miserable and want to crawl up in bed. If I give myself a six or below, I will change my day and introduce something positive. I will cancel a meeting. I know I won't show up, but you cannot wait to tomorrow. The whole concept, I'll sleep on it, means you lose half the day every single day. No, you have 10 minutes. Go, figure it out. Change up your schedule or just say, I'm a six. Come into the next meeting and just go, you know what? I'm having a shitty day today. Can one of you drive this meeting? And I'll be here. I'll support all of you. I just want one of you to drive it. And life happens. Right. Okay, let's go, guys. Well, girl. Right. Like, just, but the point is that you cannot spend years wasting four to six hours every day. 10 minutes. So move on.
Yeah, that's so true.
But I've seen it in action on people who do this. Like, I'm part of a CEO peer group. The net worth of that is very high. All of them live so purposefully. They all feel, they're all passionate. They all have a life that is combining work and life harmony, but they are so conscious about their time. They're not letting their negative mindset destroy anything. It's all opportunity, action taking. And the only way you can overcome fear, action taking.
Yeah,
you cannot think your way there. You're just wasting time. Break it down to the smallest piece of action you can do and just take one step forward.
I love it. And it's so true, right? Because when we think about all the things that we're afraid of things that haven't even happened. We're afraid of like future stuff that's not even happened. And we're such a waste of time.
And I read a study. I can't quote the numbers exactly. But it was over 95% of the time you spend worry never become a reality.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Think if you spend that 95% of that time taking action, one step forward, one micro action every single day, and try to do a little bit more every single day. And all of a sudden, you're getting S done.
Yeah. I love that. And I love the, putting a timer on your bullshit, because that's what it is. It's all just bullshit, right? And so you just put a timer on it. I love that. You got 10 minutes. Keep whining, because after 10 minutes, you're done.
For myself.
I love it.
When it goes off, I'm done.
I love that so much. Okay. So we got that. Six-figure earners out there like myself, y'all better pay attention, because that was so good. Okay. So I used to work with this amazing woman. She was a multi-billionaire, and they had an amazing non-for-profit organization, which I was a director of hers, and I ran the whole, had a team of 20. It was amazing. And me and her got along really well, but I learned so much from her mindset, because she did not care. If she came into the room and said, hey, I want to throw this event for this, president coming from another country or whatever. And we would be like, okay. And I want it done in like the next week. And we're like, what? We have to do this and this and this and this, And she would be like, okay. Like, it was like, what are we doing? So why are we still talking about it type of thing, right? Or when she would invent something, like right now she has this big thing happening that she is being a trailblazer for in the market. And I remember everybody looking at her like, has anybody even done this before? Because I don't think it's been looked at or done before. And it hasn't, actually. She's the trailblazer. And she says, if it's not done, we invent it. We make it. It's just like that. And I'm like, so what you're saying is resonating with me, because I remember if she didn't know how to do it, she would hire all of us, the right people, to make sure that we were driving the machine behind her vision. And I think that's the difference, right? When we are in a scarcity mindset, we think we have to do it all. At least that's the way I used to think, all right? So I was doing my social media. I was posting. I was this. I was that. And then I was wasting time and not getting clients because I was wasting my time. Where in her mindset, yeah, she's a multi-billionaire. They have a multi-billion dollar building. It's the whole thing. But the whole point was, is her mindset wasn't like, I'll stop and think about it. It was, this is what I thought. I need it to be executed. Let's go. And all 100 of us would be behind her making sure this vision happened. So how are you now? Because you're working now with 7-figure earners who are getting into 8 figures or above, right? 9 figures, whatever. So tell me about that. What are you finding is the hang up or maybe the block that you seeing in them? Is it different than somebody going from 6 to 7? Is it the same? Talk to me about that.
It is massively different. I want to comment on so many things you said, by
the way. Okay, okay, go.
So I'll just comment quick. I'll answer your question. I'll explain sort of the 7, 8, 9-figure mindset and where you need to focus to make the difference. But first, I just want to comment on a person that, and I have a few people that I've met that are billionaires, and the mindset is very different from millionaires.
Yeah, very.
With that said, they know one thing. If it hasn't been done before, you don't know if it can be done until you tested it. Yeah. So they're very good at running experiments. And if she came into the room, she knows none of you have done it before. Mm-hmm. But if you sit and discuss it, you will find all the reasons why you can't do it. Instead, she's basically saying, just go try it. And she would probably be okay. If you guys failed, that's okay. Now we at least tried. Not trying, not an option. And it's the same with fear. You can't think your way through it. You just have to do it. I read a lot. So Ready, Fire, Aim.
I love that.
Ready, Fire, another book.
Ready, which Fire, is, Aim.
You are ready. Let's go. You're hired. I believe in you. Nina, like you were part of that crew. I know who I put in place. I believe in you. We are ready. Fire means now you test it out. You take action. You see what happens. And then you aim, which is, okay, we learned something from the first iteration. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. But let's not sit here and aim. She was saying, stop aiming. We are ready. Fire. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
That mindset is what a lot of
so different. Have. Yeah.
The biggest thing I work with people, first of all, when people come to me and they say, I have this problem, that's never their problem. Okay, 1 in 10, it's their problem. But most of the times, it's not their problem. People that are getting to their first million in revenue or income, depending on if they're a solopreneur, they need to grind, they need to have the stamina, they need to be effective with their own time. When you hit 1 to 3 million, it's all about systems, processes, procedures. So why? Not process for process sake, but it's so you can delegate. You can hire lower cost people. You always start with, you need an admin and you need someone who sort of oversees operations. Then you need to improve your marketing, then your sales. Then like it goes, you just have to start hiring out more and more and more. When you get to about 8-10 million in revenue, you are in a situation, and now you're as a founder, you're making a good number usually as well. Now it's about growing leaders. And that's where fear-based mindset got to go out of your head. Mm-hmm. And the people you hire to get to your first million or to your first 5 is not the same people you need to go from 10 to 20 to 30. Mm-hmm. You need other people who have already either done the journey, but don't make the biggest mistake I see some entrepreneurs do, and they go like, oh, I need to hire this person from Cisco. They have been really good executive at Cisco. Yeah, they're tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people. They're used to a certain way of operating. Never put a big W-2 person into a startup. It will suck. It will fail. You will live through the misery. And I have helped a lot of founders clean up that problem.
Yeah, I think that happens a lot, actually. Yeah.
Leadership. It's leadership beyond that. You have to spend time growing your leaders. And the only way you do that is you got to get out of your own way. You're not the expert anymore. You're not the chief problem solver. You need to hire a really good number 2. You need to understand succession planning. You need to understand delegation. You need to lift them up, and you need to remain the visionary who keeps telling where the North Star is, but you got to trust other people to get there. You cannot do it yourself after about 8 to 10 million. That's where the pressure is.
So if you're not hiring, like you said, because I've seen that where they will hire like that W-2 person they found there. And you're right, it doesn't work because I've seen it not work, right? And I'm just like, well, this person came with this amazing resume, but they can't do this piece. So you're recommending that someone you already have in your organization you lift up? Is that what you're saying? Or
no, doesn't have to be. And I'm not saying the generic rule is, there are about 5 stages of a company. You have the MVP stage, you have the product fit stage, messaging fit stage, you have the channel fit, and then you scale it up, and then you grow through acquisitions and mergers. Okay. If you hire someone who has been in a what I call stage five company, which is the merger acquisition stage, let's use Cisco as an example, and you're in stage two and you're trying to find product fit, messaging fit, that person already assumes that that's there. And if they've been at Cisco for 20 years, they won't function in your company. They will not be able, they will go, okay, how can I hire 10 people? Oh, we need to do a marketing study. We need to buy a report. Like, no, you need to like roll up your sleeve, elbow grease, and let's go out and figure out what the why people want your product, what messaging resonates. Like, you need to get much more scrappy. Now, what I would hire is always hire someone who have taken a company from a stage one or two to a two or three. So one or two ahead, and then, but they have to have started in the same phase. So when I interview people, I often ask them if they come from a big company, have you done startups before? And we were, let's say to hire someone, we were plus 100 people in the company. I would ask them, when were you last in a company there were 50 people? Because I want to know, like, did they start before this? What was your revenue? What did you do to establish the product? How far did you grow it? When did you exit that company? I care more about that. But then I want the playbook, the knowledge that person have, the connection from the large company. I want that from a business perspective or from a tech leadership perspective, but I do not want their strategy from that company. And that's the thing I see a lot of people screw up. The other thing I see a lot of people screw up is they are afraid of just speaking up, radical candor, being warm but firm, and they are just beating around the bush. And that's why I use the term adult daycare. Like, I meet several entrepreneurs that are typically in the 5 to 10 million stage, and they have just... they have fallen out of love with their company and they're just letting things go. Like, oh yeah, you want to be sick, take a sick leave for a month? That's fine. I get it. Everyone gets a cold. Or, oh, you want to go work in Europe this summer? Just go ahead. It's okay. Like, and now they're getting people to take advantage of them. Mm. And now they've been doing that for a year or two. And now they grew. They plateau. They don't understand what's going on. And because they don't dare to lead their company. So at that stage, I help them either find a leader who dares to speak up, who dares to take control of the company, or step into the leadership role again yourself. Those are the most common things I see.
That's so good, right? And I think you're, I mean, I know you're right, because I've seen that happen, right? I've been in corporate for a while and I have seen that. And I like startups, actually. I've started with a couple of startups and I like growing in them. Fun to watch all of the way you grow and add something new and change this up. And not everybody can do that though. You have to be adaptable and flexible, and you have to be open that sometimes you might be the one picking up the piece of garbage from the floor, or, you know, leading a team. I mean, just how it is. I love startups. But I've seen that. I've seen the plateau piece, right? And one of the companies I was working for, I remember, when she was like, well, it's time for everyone to come back to the office because all the building is pretty much empty and enough is enough with working home. People were pissed, right? They were like, I want to be. And she's like, see you Monday. Like, she does. And it is what it is.
I'm not saying always bring everyone back. I am. So that's a whole political discussion.
Yeah, of course.
We ended up going remote forever. The reason was that we were more productive. But we were a tech company. It's very different.
Yeah, it's different.
I also help some people. They have, we started one day in the office a week. And I go, great, get rid of the building. You can have them go to WeWork or Spaces or whatever. Like, that's fine. They're like, no, but I want to bring them back. But over a 2-year time frame, so we're going to increase the number of days. I'm like, okay, so you're going to wait 2 years to not be productive. Instead of just ripping the bandage and go then 4 days, like start with 4 days and then tell them why you're doing it. And sure, but what if I lose this person and this person? Great. You would lose them 2 years from now anyway. And they were half-assed to that point. Like, just get them back, like rip the bandage. If you're not growing, you are dying. That's like stagnation, plateauing is temporary. Wow. Why? Because the growth culture, the growth leadership have disappeared. I helped another client. She was running a company. She said, the best numbers we did, and she's not, she wasn't dependent on COVID. She's like, the best numbers I did in during COVID. And I'm, and in her business, it should be the opposite. And I'm like, why is that? Like, what happened? And we really dug into it. What it really was is, she said, I had nothing to fear or lose. Because I felt like if I didn't step up as the captain of the ship and screamed out orders, but also really showed appreciation for everyone on the boat, she used that analogy, we would have gone under. It was a storm. But as a result, she was doing the best number. And you could tell on her, when, and we were sitting in a Zoom call, and she was like, it just like, bing, light bulb moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went like, so we should maybe start leading a little bit more firm again and not let just people take advantage of you. And she did. And I called her, this was probably 3 months ago. It was before Christmas, at least. And I asked, how is it going? Business is doing amazing. Like, I got rid of these people and they would have been gone anyway. I hired this person instead. And like, okay, how is life? Life is amazing. I'm like, how much are you working? And she's like, I work a lot, but I also live a lot. I'm like, thank you. You took control of your life. You were not operating with fear of how you would be judged. It's kind of an interesting, and I realize I gave all example from women here. I get the luxury of actually working more with women than with men. And I think it's because I actually don't have the full answer, but I can be very, I can talk about emotions. I can talk about vulnerability. I can talk about self-worth, value, we, belonging, groups. Even though I sound very authoritative, I'm still very much for sound company culture. But I'm also pushing people to, if you already know what the outcome is, do not wait. And I'm pushing people to make action quickly. But 80% of the people I help are women. And they are either business leaders or founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, or I get a lot of people reaching out to me saying, I got this rising star. They're a VP, but they're not really ready to become a C-level yet. Could you work with them for half a year and sort of groom them into the thinking so I can give them the right opportunity? So I help a lot of VPs as well get into the C-level role.
So tell me about your business. Let's get into that really quick, because I know we're getting, I told you 30 minutes, but I like you so much. And like, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I know I'm keeping you a little longer. Tell me about what you're doing with people. Like, because you've mentioned the you know, how you're helping them level up and all of that. But for those who are listening, just kind of want to grasp what it is you do with them, I'd love to know.
So my process is, I'm the opposite of a lot of advisors, consultants, coaches, mentors. And because a lot of them latch on and they want to make multi-year contracts. I don't. I work with people 4 to 6 months, then I don't want to see them anymore. They can call me once a month. But if I work with you,
I love that.
I am leading them. They need to be leading themselves. The typical flow as people are, they start working with me and they go, let's look at the strategy. Let's look at the products. Let's look at this person I think is a bad employee. It's like, no. We need to understand you. So the first 2 to 4 weeks, I focus a lot on their mindset, rediscovering like deep emotional intelligence of who they are. Because it doesn't matter which strategic direction or product or whatever changes we do, if they don't truly understand how they show up every single day, and this is back to building a healthy culture where employees feel safe. Like, again, you need to be warm, we, not always I, but you also need to be firm. And I work about 4 weeks. I work a little bit I work more with their mindset. When I work with people, I meet them every week. They have homework. They have to deliver on the results. They have to be ready for working with me. We go fast. And several people, when they are in the tail end, they're like, I can't believe how much I grew during 4 to 6 months. And like, they're mind blown how much they can do. Yeah, because I'm going to push you. We're going to go faster, faster, faster. We're going to make decision quicker. We're going to stop dwelling on things. We're going to move. We're going to hire. We're going to fire. We're going to put the right things in place. And then we go. And then what I do, I meet them every week. And then in case they have an emergency, I'm available. Shoot me a text message. I'll clear my calendar. I'll sit with you for a full day to fix your emergency. Now, if you do that every week, I'm not up for that.
Right, of course.
During the 4 to 6 months, it happens once, maybe twice. It's often when they have to fire a COO or a sales executive or something like that. and they're afraid of stepping into role. They're afraid of the implication. I fly out there. I sit and work with them. So I'm a little bit of an insurance as well. You have at least a strategic brain and someone have done it before working with you. And then I ask people to do the reflections. Every single 24, 48 hours after we meet, I want to hear a reflection. Not the same day. You need to internalize it. And the reason why I push people to do that, otherwise people show up for a show and they listen to like a podcast and they don't take action. Yeah. I need them to take action. So I force them to reflect. And then 24, 48 hours before we meet, I want to hear what's going on. What's on your mind? What's the problem you want me to help you solve, or mindset or strategy, business decision, hiring, firing, culture, whatever it is that you're doing? Let me know ahead of time. And if you need to be connected with people to solve some of these problems, if I need to go help you recruit someone, do interviews with you, like I'll help you with whatever.
That's amazing.
I just want to see action. I'm very result oriented. And I'm not kidding. After about 4 to 6 months, I go, look, we can go into maintenance mode where we meet once a month and I can make sure you're heading in the right direction. But most of my clients I work with for about 6 months, then they're off on their own. Some exceptional cases, like let's say they had appointed a succession plan CEO and they were grooming a COO to become a CEO. They leave. Okay, now we work 9 maybe even 12 months to just reset the expectations. Right. Often you have to step in as a leader. But I don't want to stick for years. Like I get bored and I want to help. My mission is I want to help 10,000, 100,000 entrepreneurs. Like I want to impact lives.
So good. And
I'm too ADHD, too let's get shit done mentality. Like I hated when I worked with my own coaches and mentors who like, sometimes I felt like they were inventing problems just so they can sell me. It pissed me off. And I don't want to deal with people like that. I don't want to be that person. And I have to tell clients, last 2 weeks, I told 2 clients, I think we're getting to the end here. Like, and I'm like, I think we're done. And the training wheels need to come off. You need to run this. But can I call you? Like, yeah, you can call me. It's fine. I'll help you. If you don't call me every day, I'll help you, but you'll be fine. I won't hear from them. They just have to start doing it a little bit themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, that's so good. You've given me so much wisdom right now. Like you're making me think about my business. You're making me think and rethink the way I do things, because I think you're right. I think one of the, there's a couple of things I'm going to steal from you, right? So the reflection piece and like writing it down within the next day or two, because I'm realizing that some of the women that I'm working with, we meet every other week, right? And then they have one-on-one access to me if they need to throughout the time we're not together, but they're supposed to be implementing. And a lot of times we meet in 2 weeks and nothing's been implemented because life got in the way and blah, 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 right? So it's taking them longer to do things than they should. And then comes the defeat part, right? I'm not good enough. I can't, you know, that all that stuff, right? Because I'm not dealing with 7-figure earners yet, right? I'm only dealing with the 5 figures wanting to go into 6 or wanting to build a business.
It's just I know what. So yeah. I love the fact that you took that one, because here is why. If I work with someone, I'm okay if I push them to do something and they say, you know what, I actually don't have time. I respect that. Like, okay, you don't have time. Fair. But if you're saying to me, I am going to do this, and you are not honest and accountable to yourself,
yeah,
I fire clients. Like if you have done that 3 times with me, I'm done with you. I don't want to work. It's not about like, I don't want to work
I
with
love
you
that.
Because you're wasting my time.
Yeah,
and I know it's not about me, but they're lying to themselves. They have an integrity problem with themselves. Like how can they look themselves in the mirror if they are not willing to take action? And it's back to, I have never done the 75 hard challenge and stuff like that, but it's the same thing. Like it's learning the discipline. I know I have succeeded when people naturally start disconnecting a little bit and they're like, I got it. No, it's fine. Like, I don't need your help on this. Or when someone says to me, I love hearing, I have never had this much clarity on my business. It's like I was walking in a fog and now I see everything crystal clear. And I go,
that's
okay,
so good.
Great. Let's start talking about wrapping up our engagement then. You don't need me. I love this. And that's how I feel fulfilled. And I know it's stupid business sometimes for my own sake, but I can't sit there and bullshit you. I couldn't stand it when others did it to me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that person.
And everybody does need a coach, Dos Andreas, right? I really believe that everybody needs a coach. And I say this all the time. Coaches need coaches. Therapists need therapists. Doctors need doctors. Because like you said yourself, like you have your own coaches, right? You
need that.
Yeah, you need it because you need to be able to see the blind spots that you don't see, or strategy you never heard of. Yeah.
I miss them all the time. I need people to tell me. And that's the other thing. The number one mindset shift, in addition to everything I've said, stop. Like, people are bruising their egos. They get defensive. The best leaders, like if someone, like, I can go to my CEO or peer group and I can tell them, you're being such an effing asshole right now. They won't stand up and be mad and do something. Right. Oh, they will go like, oh, okay, I'm clearly have a blind spot here. Can you, like, how did we end? Like, tell me, I can see you're aggregated. I can see you're irritated. What's going on? Like, what did I miss? They switch defensive to curiosity. And that's how you hyperscale your mind, how you hypergrow curiosity. Insert that every single time you feel like I'm going to defend myself. Go, what if the opposite is true? What if I can learn a lesson here?
Yeah.
Do not defend, get curious and focus on understanding what you're missing. And that's the other thing. When sometimes I've done this myself. I stopped listening to some coaches and mentors. I was not receptive. And it wasn't until they like slapped me and I'm like, okay, I'm clearly missing something here.
It's growth.
Like, curiosity is king. And the day you say, I am who I am, I know everything, start dying.
Andreas, I freaking love you, bro. So thank you so much for hanging out with me, because this was such an amazing eye-opener for me. I'm going to rewatch it and rewatch it because I have so many notes I got to take now. Because I want to scale. I want to scale personally in my own personal life, like as a person, and also in my business, or maybe strategize and look at, maybe it's a different business. Maybe it's something else I need to do. But the feeling stuck thing is a real thing for me. It's been happening, and I want to get out of it. And I keep, I believe in God, right? So I'm always asking God to send me a message or send me a direction or send me something, right? And so this is literally the only conversation this week that I am going to hold on to. I have got to listen to this over and over again. You are a true blessing for me in my life. Thank you so much. So before I wrap up and let you go, because I don't freaking want to, but I have to, tell me and tell everyone listening how people can find you, how they can, you know, maybe speak with you or maybe even work with you. Like I said, I have a lot of successful entrepreneurs that listen to the show. So tell us that information.
Best way to contact me is connect with me or follow me on Instagram. I answer every single message myself. If you don't demand too much of my time, and if you have a very clearly defined problem, I will give you a solution, or I will point you in a direction to where you can find the solution. If people want to work with me, go to leadersadapt.com. One thing I do there as a mini promotion, every time I have a coaching session where I feel someone else can benefit from hearing this, I write a blog post about it and I put it on there. It's a very short blog post because I have made a commitment, like it's better to get something out there than nothing. Mm-hmm. If I get people who then read the blog post and say, can you talk a little bit more about that? Then I'll extend the blog post and I'll give them an answer as well. But Instagram, best way to reach me, and then leadersadapt.com.
Is Instagram under your name or under Leaders Adapt?
Thank you. Andreas, the CEO.
Okay. All right. Yes, the CEO for sure. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you. This is such a blessing of a conversation. I appreciate you. I really do.
Thank you so much for having me. I love your energy.
So good. Thank you. So good. Okay. So you heard Andreas say that he was going to take me to introduce him to places, right? I just want to make sure everybody heard that. Okay, good. So guys, thank you so much for hanging out with me and Andreas. I know, right? Freaking amazing. I love people that come on here and give you a fresh perspective, something new to look at, how to look at something, but also how to transform your life. Through this episode, he had dropped books that he has read, knowledge he has done, mindset shifts he's done. So this is like packed with information for you. So make sure you guys rewatch this, take some notes, and share this with people who can really use this, because we are trying to level up our game today. You know, it's 2025, y'all. Like, how long are we waiting for 2026, 2027? What are we doing, right? And like Andrea said, what about tomorrow? We might not even be here tomorrow. So let's make today count. I love you guys so much. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. So good. Until next time.